Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program, and thank you for listening. We are a live broadcast from our studios at American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano joins me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Great to be back for another week.
Hey, yeah, isn't it? Good to be alive.
It sure is.
I'm enjoying it.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't know whoever came up with that expression, great to be alive.
Great to be alive.
It's kind of like.
Don't you feel a little bit guilty as a Christian? Because you go, it's great to be alive.
But,
and people say, well, as opposed to the alternative. But the alternative will be in heaven. That's even better.
That's what Paul said.
Yeah. So.
But then.
It is great to be alive. This is what God has for us.
Then Kenny Chesney sang. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to go there now.
Was that Kenny Chesney?
Or,
I don't know who that was.
I think that was a song that preceded him that he sang. You know how everybody sings everybody else's songs sometime in their career?
Anyway,
our eternal home awaits us as believers, as followers of Christ. Jesus said we shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.
But you don't go until your time is up, right?
So right.
You shouldn't wish it prematurely because God has something for us to do here on earth or else we wouldn't be here.
Right.
That'll preach right there.
That'll preach.
That
you
was pretty good
it.
By me, just
That's
off
right.
the cuff.
Sounds like the gospel to me.
Yeah, amen.
Good news.
Amen.
Good
All news. Right, lots to talk about today. We hope you had a great weekend and so much to discuss. By the way, before we get into the serious news of the day, I know this. Football serious with a lot of people. Let me just a tip of a hat to the old geezers, and that would be Tom Brady at 41 years old, won again.
Yep,
and go into the AFC Championship game, and Drew Brees,
39, right? Is he 39?
Mm-hmm. 39, and
the New Orleans Saints
won for the New Orleans Saints. I know Drew Brees is a outspoken follower of Christ.
I think that's true.
I read his comments and his testimony, and he's a great family man as well. Tom Brady is evidently a great family man as well.
Yes.
I don't know about if he's a Christian or not.
I don't think so.
But anyway, just wanted to congratulate for all us old timers, right?
And Drew Brees is a fine Christian, but I will be rooting against him this coming Sunday.
Christian brother or not.
That's right. I'm rooting for the Rams.
You're a lifelong Rams fan.
Lifelong Rams fan, and I'm gonna be rooting for my brother to epically fail on Sunday.
Oh wow, wow!
I want him throwing it into the stands.
Oh wow,
I want him.
Not a good attitude.
No, I'm not praying for it to happen.
Right, right.
But I'm wishing it. I'm
okay.
wishing it.
You're
with,
wishing it.
I'm
yeah.
wishing it with
okay.
all my might.
Okay.
God sees your heart, Ed.
Unfortunately, yes.
Like you haven't hoped the Canadians failed before, right? Are you? You're a Blackhawks.
I'm a Blackhawks fan.
So, yeah. So
somewhat embarrassed to say that at the moment. But.
Okay. All right. What's going on in the world, Fred?
Well, you know, talked about weekend, and I kind of shivered through this weekend. It was kind of cold and damp here.
Yeah.
I guess I just wish that
you
I was
43.
Beg pardon?
43 and damp.
43 and damp. Yeah, it was cold.
Here in Northeast Mississippi.
It was.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I wish I was a Democrat this weekend because a whole bunch of them got on an airplane, chartered jet, and suffering through the big shutdown, there are hundreds of thousands of fellow federal workers. They got on a chartered jet and went down to Puerto Rico.
Did they now? You're talking about House Democrats? House of Representatives,
senators, yeah, bunch.
How
of
many
them.
Of them were there?
Hispanic caucus, about 30 of them.
Okay,
it was probably a 747 because they had to have room to move around.
So they went down to Puerto Rico. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a great time of year to go to Puerto Rico.
They said they had to check up on how the repairs were going from the hurricane.
Really?
apparently, they've never heard of someone down there taking pictures and sending it to them. They had to get aboard. Now, Senator...
Now, were these all Hispanic...
they were members of the
Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Called the Bold Pack.
Well, besides getting an update on, I guess, what happened with the hurricane damage, there is a very prominent picture of one of the Democrat senators, Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey. And I'm not sure if he's getting an update on the hurricane damage from this lady, but it shows him in a bathing suit, what looks like a very nice beach, talking to a lady who's scantily dressed on the beach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when they say they were getting an update on the hurricane damage, I guess that's where he thought he wanted to make sure she was okay.
Right.
Now, I will say this. First of all, some men at any particular age, some men should not be in a bathing suit without a T-shirt. Okay?
Does he qualify?
He qualifies.
Okay.
All right.
Put your shirt on.
You know, go use a tanning bed if you want to get a tan. And now I will say this: you can, you know, you snap pictures nowadays. You can snap them, hold the button down. It'll take a bunch of pictures. You can select whichever one you want. It's usually done so you pick the best possible picture, and that's the one you keep. Mm-hmm. You can also do the reverse. You can take those pictures in rapid sequence and then take the one that looks the worst. And Senator Bob Menendez, who's already been in a heap of legal trouble and moral accusations, they picked the one that they picked that's going on all these pictures and tweets and stuff like that, makes it look like he's just checking out this girl in a bikini.
Yeah.
And now I don't know whether he was or whether he just was simply blinking, and the way the picture was taken, it makes it look like he's playing a 68-year-old creep. Okay? I'm not sure what was actually happening, but you should not be put in that situation. But I guess senators from New Jersey, this is kind of expected.
Yeah.
Israel, it's not a good
the point
not
is
a good point. Not a good
the point is
picture.
The point is you got a bunch of congressional Democrats going down to Puerto Rico during the government shutdown,
right?
And it doesn't look good.
No,
that's what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good for a lot of people. If President Trump went down to Mar-a-Lago while the government shutdown's going on, then he would be crucified for it, right?
Yep.
And I will say I don't want anyone to accuse me of defending the left. This trip was probably planned after the midterm elections.
I don't care if they go to Puerto Rico or wherever they go, for that matter, really, except that, let's be fair, if you're going to treat President Trump and the Republicans one way, be fair, liberal media.
come on.
People are going, come on, Tim. Come on, get real. Anyway, but we do want to point this out.
Yes.
But I think what the Democrats should have done is postpone the trip,
right?
Like President Trump did going to Mar-a-Lago and said, hey, look, it doesn't look good.
Right.
We're busy trying to solve this problem, although the Democrats aren't there.
You know, the worst case of bad optics I can ever remember in recent year politically was and Republicans can do it as well as Democrats. I mean, you got to be careful. You do have to be careful how things look, especially when you're as high profile as a congressman or a senator or certainly the president of the United States. But do you remember when that American was beheaded?
Yes.
By ISIS, and President Obama goes on TV to announce, you know, sadly, something, he announced when it happened. Mm-hmm. And then 10 minutes later, it shows him out on the golf course high-fiving. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Who was it? It was that Jewish USA Today correspondent, Daniel.
I don't know who it was. I just know it was a beheading. They had just shown a live, am I right, Fred?
That's correct.
Remember this? Beheading. And President Obama, as he should, you know, is making a comment on it and how, you know, as Americans, we're saddened, whatever he said.
Daniel Pearl.
Yes.
Was that who it was that happened?
He was Wall Street Journal reporter. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, then it shows President Obama on the golf course yakking it up. Mm-hmm. And I'm just – and somebody said they pleaded with him not to go. No. I know what it was. It was Dana Perino, who was the President Bush's press secretary, right? Yeah. Or at least one of his aides. Mm-hmm. And she told him he was going to do something or had thought about doing something after something bad had happened. And she told – I'm remembering what she said now. She said if she would have been President Obama's aide or chief of staff, she would have told him absolutely not. Mm-hmm. You're not going to the golf course right now. You can go tomorrow, mm-hmm. but you're not going 10 minutes after you just talked about a guy having his head sawed off.
Yep.
Do you remember that when that happened?
Yes.
Though?
Yep.
He did get criticized roundly, did it, President Obama, for that. Now, you know, in fairness, you can't stop your life every time there's a tragedy in the world, and we wouldn't expect our president to stop his business every time there's something happens
in the world. And we need to correct this. It was not when Daniel Pearl.
I didn't think so.
It was James Foley, who was the
Foley Pearl was a long time ago.
Yeah, that before was under Bush, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, but it was a beheading, but.
And he was beheaded by ISIS.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But it wasn't the first time that Obama had done something similar to that. I will never forget the day of the Fort Hood massacre. And the president came out, multiple people killed at Fort Hood in Texas. And he came out and he was laughing and joking. He was having a meeting with some Native leaders there at the White House. And he was laughing and joking about that. And basically he said, by the way, we had an incident at Fort Hood today.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the guy. I just know, judging from a distance, President Obama, but he seems unsympathetic. How do you say it? Stoic in ways?
A little maybe emotionally detached.
Emotionally detached. I don't know that he is.
Right.
He just comes across that way oftentimes. And he did the same thing. You remember Benghazi?
Yes.
The night Benghazi happened, I guess he went to bed because they won't say what the president was doing. Mm-hmm. And you can only assume, and the press won't ask him, or if they did, they won't answer him because it looks bad. I mean, you got something you should be in the situation room over in a crisis, you should be, and you went to bed. And the reason he went to bed is he had to fly out to Las Vegas to do a
fundraiser. Next day.
And he went out after Benghazi. Again, it's a judgment call sometimes on what the appropriate action to take if you're the president of the United States in light of something that happens in the world, especially to Americans.
But the thing is, there's no standard of behavior on the part of the media. So when Katrina happened in 2005, remember they said, President Bush just did a flyover, didn't go.
Yes.
And he was roundly criticized. Yes. And the thing is, I would just say for all these presidents, like you're saying, I would just say, listen, it's hard for us to know what the right thing is to do. And sometimes it's unfair. You can't stop your life. You can't do, you know, you've got to go on. But at least the media should try to be fair. And then I go, oh, yeah, really?
Look,
that's not going to happen.
Look, yeah, we all know oftentimes the Democrats get a pass for what a Republican would get beat up for.
Right.
That's just standard.
Including going to the beach in Puerto Rico. Republicans would be roundly.
And Nancy Pelosi, she's going to Hawaii.
Yes.
On a vacation.
Yeah.
So, and I don't care where she goes for her vacation. I'm just saying that if a Republican House leader went to Hawaii during the government shutdown, they would run him out of office.
Right.
Okay. But you remember the flyover thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just one more comment on that. When President Bush, after Katrina in 2005, I think he was at his ranch.
I think so. In
wherever that, near Waco. And was flying back to D.C. and he did a flyover with Air Force One. Well, the reason he didn't stop is they just had a hurricane. You can't, like 24 hours later or whatever, you can't just set Air Force One down in an airport that's been, you know what I'm saying?
Plus, you got all debris. You got to take all security and all that away from the natural disaster.
Imagine had he stopped.
Yeah.
And said, no, we'll set this plane down. We're going to take the limousines and try to navigate the trees.
Yeah.
You know, to get to downtown New Orleans or something like that.
Yeah.
Then they'd have said, listen, this guy just wants glory.
Yes.
He just wants to be seen doing something.
Instead, photo op. It's a photo op for the president.
Well, instead, he got it for flying over.
Right.
See, he doesn't care about people. He just, it's a flyover attitude. You know, doesn't care about the people suffering on the ground. So President Bush couldn't win with the press on that one. But, you know, you do have to be careful when you're the president, how things appear to the public, because it does matter. You know, it's unfair oftentimes, but it does matter, especially if you're a Republican, you're held to a very different standard. You're listening. And I know this is driving President Trump nuts. If you're him, knowing his personality that we all know, you know, he likes to go and do and see, and being cooped up inside the White House.
Right.
Which is substandard compared to his digs.
That's right.
In Mar-a-Lago and Trump Tower.
Yeah.
You know, and he's cooped up in that, and now it's snowing, and he can't go anywhere. In D.C. So we'll see what happens with the government shutdown. Any word on that, Fred?
Well, we are now past the first time the workers have not received a paycheck, and there's growing pressure on the president to make a compromise. But his comeback is time for the Democrats to do the compromising here and do the right thing and do the funding for the wall. Now, on the weekend, one of his, I think, who has become a strong ally, the president, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, he was on one of the programs, Fox News, I think, Sunday on the weekend. And he was asked about, you know, is there a compromise in here somewhere? And he made this suggestion. Here's Senator Graham.
Before he pulls the plug on the legislative option, and I think we're almost there, I would urge him to open up the government for a short period of time, like 3 weeks, before he pulls the plug, see if we can get a deal. If we can, at the end of 3 weeks, all bets are off. See if he can do it by himself through the emergency powers. That's my recommendation. But I think the legislative path is just about shut off, because Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the House, said, even if you open up the government, I'll give you $1 for the wall. As long as that's the case, we're never going to get a legislative package, no matter what the Senate does.
Well, that's Senator Lindsey Graham. And it almost sounded like he was talking himself out of the suggestion he was making in the early part of the comment. And what he was suggesting, let's have a cooling off period of 2 or 3 weeks, reopen the government so, you know, these workers would get their paycheck. But he also says in about the same breath that the president is running out of legislative options, as he says. And what he's referring to is the president's threat to use basically executive order and take money from a pot somewhere, Homeland Security, or from the Pentagon pot, take the $5 billion and build the wall, which the president admits he's going to be challenged in court. Democrats would likely go to the Ninth Circuit, get themselves a ruling, and would end up in the Supreme Court. Now, the president this morning, he's on his way down to New Orleans to speak to a group of farmers, but he stepped out of the White House, reporters are there, and he's the first president that stops almost every day and talks to the reporters out there. He was asked about Lindsey Graham's comments on the weekend, and the president said, no way. What would 3 weeks do? As Lindsey Graham said, Nancy Pelosi sounds like she's not going to budge at all. So what would be the point of reopening the government for 2 or 3 weeks?
I agree with President
Because
Trump
we will be right back to where we are today. So he is rejecting that suggestion of a temporary reopening.
Well, I asked this morning in our story meeting how in the world the president could just open the government for 3 weeks. But apparently the continuing resolution that would fund the government that the president has not signed or vetoed or whatever, it only extends into February. And then they have to do it again. Mm. So to me, it doesn't really matter if he stays the course or if he opens it for 3 weeks and then and brings us right back to the same situation. Because as Lindsey Graham said, there is no legislative solution. The Democrats feel absolutely no pressure. They've already come through the midterm elections. They have no pressure on them. They want to see if President Trump will hang himself with this. So it seems to me the president's only solution is to go the declare the emergency and build it. And so this is now he could I think he could go on the air or whatever and say, you know, I am going to open the government for 3 weeks, but I am increasing what I am demanding from the Democrats to $7 billion, you know, and I don't know, and then go with the national emergency. But the Democrats have made it clear they are not going to help the president get this wall built, so he's going to have to find another way.
Yeah.
Does Lindsey Graham, by the way, you can watch the show today. Failed to mention this. If you want to watch today's issues on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube. And just type in today's issues here on American Family Radio, and you can interact with other listeners. And we're posting the stories that we're talking about, too. We're posting the sources of the news stories that we're discussing on our Facebook page for today's issues. So check it out. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Fred Jackson. Anyway, we'll see how long this lasts, stare down, that's what you want to call it, between President Trump and Nancy Schumer and
Nancy Schumer and Chuck Pelosi.
Boy, that was bad. But you do get them sort of mixed
Sounds
up.
Sounds like a President Trump tweet.
Yeah, or maybe a ticket for the next Democratic presidential run, a Schumer Pelosi ticket. So Nancy Pelosi, and they're not gonna. I don't see them giving in, as you say. They're in a position of strength in terms of there's no pressure on them. And quite frankly, there's not a lot of pressure on the president either from this perspective. He has to hold firm on this.
I'll tell you what he could do.
Or his presidency's over.
Is he could come out with a wide-ranging solution to the immigration problem. He could announce it and say, this is what I'm saying. I want the wall, but here's what we're going to do with illegal immigrants. Here's the path to citizenship. Here's what we're going to do with Dreamers, DACA. Full bore plan, and the Democrats are apparently going to. I'm giving people everything they need, the tools they need to solve this problem, and we're just waiting on the Democrats. I think that might put a little more pressure on the Democrats to have something sitting on the table, path to citizenship, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but you know what? The Democrats have already refused DACA.
That's right.
And DACA, as you know, was to allow the people here who were brought here as children, and this is the only country they've known to have a pathway to citizenship.
Right.
And the Democrats said, all President Trump says, I want border security, a wall, in trade, or in, what do you call that?
Exchange.
In exchange, I'll give you, Democrats, this DACA pathway to citizenship that you've been asking for. Warning, and they said no to that.
Yeah, but that's in the past. What I'm saying is this would I think might create some pressure amongst their base to say take the deal to the Democrats.
No,
they've got no
pressure. Give them what?
Well, I'm just saying, obviously they've flip-flopped. I mean, 2006, Chuck Schumer was in favor of a wall. So they flip-flopped. I would bring DACA or, you know, I have to call it DACA. I would bring a comprehensive plan and say, I'm offering the Democrats a deal, that might create some pressure on the part of the
Democrats. Yeah, but what could you give them that's better than DACA? And they've already said no to that.
Well, give them DACA again. Well, yeah, but they said yes to a wall before. Maybe they'll say yes to DACA now. Well, I mean, there's no pressure on them now.
Yeah.
Why not at least create some pressure?
I think they've already said, yeah, I understand what you're saying, I guess, but they've already said no to DACA. And that's like the best thing that President Trump could give them, so in exchange for. So I think their attitude is, Democrats is, we're not going to give President Trump any money for any wall ever. Ever, 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 whatever he gives us. I think that's the position they're holding right now. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
Given the fact that we live in a fallen world with fallen people, and that this world is a dangerous place, borders are a necessary evil. Well, they're not really evil, but you get the idea. It would be better if we didn't have to have them, but we need them.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Who said this? Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I was quoting none other than George Washington, our first president and father of our country, who said specifically that religion and morality are indispensable supports for our government and our culture. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, in June and September. If you'd like more information on this, please go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We'll also be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. If you'd like to do both tours or one or the other, that's fine. For all the information, again, June and September, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. We'd love to have you during these 2019 tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. It's always a joy to salute men and women across the nation who are doing their part to make America great. William Haley is one of those people. He's a deputy with the Madison County Sheriff's Office in Tennessee. The other day, he was driving along Highway 70 around lunchtime when he came across a homeless man. Deputy Haley stopped by a nearby McDonald's and bought the man two cheeseburgers and a Coca-Cola. But instead of just dropping off the burgers, Deputy Haley sat down, shared a meal with the man, shook his hand, prayed with him right there on the side of the road. A local resident saw the encounter and posted a photo on Facebook, and well, now here we are talking about it on the radio. Deputy Haley says he would like to think that someone would do for him in a time of need, just as he did for that wayfaring stranger, a selfless example of how law enforcement not only protects, but also serves. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
I think we're going to rename this show, fellas.
Okay.
I think we need to go with, instead of Today's Issues, we need to go with We Got All the Answers. I think that's pretty well sums it up.
So go to our website, wevegotalltheanswers.com.
Yes, I think, check that out. See if somebody needs to see if that's available. We've got all the answers.
Well, now you mentioned it. Now someone's going to get it.
Right.
Grab it.
Just kidding, folks. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we have some wonderful news to report from our preborn campaign. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, later? Absolutely. All last week, our listeners have heard us promoting the ministry of preborn, and it was to we were asking our listeners to provide free ultrasounds for women who come into crisis pregnancy centers. 80% of women who do, when they're considering an abortion, change their minds. And our goal last week was 2,000 ultrasounds underwritten by AFR listeners. And we want to let our listeners know that as of 6 a.m. today, we actually reached 2,874.
Wow.
So we went over the goal we were looking at, and we are so grateful to our listeners who were able to give
thing. Those are paid for now by our listeners, ultrasounds, and we all know when mothers or young ladies who are pregnant are thinking about having an abortion,
right?
And they see the baby on the ultrasound. They
hear the heartbeat.
Hear the heartbeat. They change their mind.
Yes,
80%.
80% of the time.
80% of the time, they decide to give life, give birth, and not go through with an abortion. So, this is real.
Yes,
these our listeners have paid for 2,874 of these free ultrasounds. Well, they're not free. They've been underwritten by our listeners through the ministry we work with and partner with. It's what now?
It's Preborn.
Preborn.
And
yeah.
We went, our goal was 2,000 all last week, and yeah. we went over substantially.
Yeah.
Amen.
Almost by half again.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, you're listening to Today's Issues, where we have all the answers here on American Family Radio. Ed Battagliano, Tim Wildman, and Fred Jackson. And, hey, we want to go to our good friend Lynn Ingram now, as we do once a week, most weeks. Lynn is a laundryman from Abilene, Texas, and Lynn and Jim Duncan, his friend and partner, they created the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, which we offer here on American Family Radio.
And he's the son of a laundryman.
Yes, he is. AFA, if you go to afastore.net, I encourage you to do that. Go to afastore.net. You can read about the laundry detergent and other things we have to offer there. And order it and check it out, because when you purchase that, you get great clean clothes, but you also support our ministry here. That's why Lynn and Jim created the Redeem Clean product. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Tim, and hello, men. It's a beautiful day in West Texas.
It's a beautiful day in West Texas, and that's where your family business is.
I wish Lynn was a little more enthusiastic about
life,
you know?
I know. Lynn, so you been in business again 4 decades, five, you said?
Dad started our business in 1950, so it'd be about 69 years this year.
Now, how did he do that? Did he start it with, how do you start a laundry business?
It's like any other business. You take your core competency and just go to work and pray that the Lord's going to bless it, and you serve people, and you appreciate your employees, and you appreciate your customers. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, it's just a great – that's the thing about America. You just got great opportunity for free enterprise.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's an exciting time, Tim.
So you get really excited during youth baseball season, right? Because
well, get grass stains out.
We do sponsor teams. Would that count?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just talking about, all the kids getting dirty and muddy and grass stains and everything else. And
We love it. We don't care where the dirty clothes come from. The front door, the back door, down the chimney. We're just glad to get them.
AFAstore.net. Go there, folks, and buy your Redeem Clean laundry detergent. Support our ministry and check it out. You'll be glad you did. There's been a question, Lynn. Some folks who have seen use the Redeem Clean, they've had a question about your label, right?
Yes, about the way we package our product. Yes, sir.
What about that?
Tim, our product was not built for a retail space. It was not developed for that. It was designed to support your ministry, what you do, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's several different symbols on there that businesses probably would not put on their product. The most important one is the cross. And the cross is, without the cross, this conversation probably wouldn't be taking place. Second, the rays of sun coming through behind the cross that's on there, it just represents the rays of hope that we can find in the words of God. And that comes through your program. So many of your program, you always refer back to the word of God. Another one's the American flag. Jim and I love this country, and we've lifted up in ways that hopefully we're going to be able to return to the country that we grew up believing in. Mm-hmm. And probably the ichthus is our favorite. And it's the oldest known Christian symbol that's there. Early Christians would draw the top of the shape of the fish in the sand, and the person, when they were finished, they would draw their picture draw their line in the bottom of the sand. And that symbol tells us the story of AFA. Jim and I believe that, when you turn your radio stations on each morning, when people do, and drawing the line at the top part of the fish, and when you turn into AFA, you're drawing the bottom part of that fish. And we all find a safe place to share and to build our faith.
Amen. Amen.
And well, so
Go ahead.
You are encouraging and supporting people and educating people in the Word of God, and there's not many places that you can go and hear that publicly. Yeah. And so our Redeem Clean line of products was developed with our Lord Jesus Christ in mind and to support AFA and just in some small way to allow 2,000, to y'all to get the word out, for 2,874 people to support saving unborn babies.
Amen, brother.
Period.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, listen, folks, go to AFAstore.net and click on the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent link there and check it out. Buy it and use it and see. Hey, what a lot of folks don't realize, Lynn, is that we send them, I know that you ship it out of Texas, Dallas, I think, direct to people's houses, but they get, we're given a lot of value in terms of the amount of laundry detergent they get, right?
It's extremely cost effective. It is so concentrated. It's a concentrated premium laundry product, very similar to what we use in a commercial environment here.
Yeah.
We test it here. We know it works.
Yeah.
And we know it'll work if you'll use it correctly. And just contact us on our email, on our website.
Okay.
If you've got any questions, if we can help you. On any laundry questions, Jim answers those personally. Every one of them, he answers personally. So we would love to help you with that. We want to make you a lifetime customer of Redeem
Amen.
Clean products.
AFAstore.net is the website to go and buy the product. You can see the different packages that they have available. And also, if you want to just use the telephone, pick up the telephone and call somebody, call us here and order using your credit card. Just try it out. You're not, committed to anything long term. You just want to try it out. See if you like it. Here's the telephone number to call us to order the Redeem Clean product. It's 877-485-5527. Again, the toll-free telephone number, 877-485-5527, or simply go on the internet to afastore.net. Thank you, Lynn. Have a great day brother.
Thank you, Tim. You and Ed and Fred, y'all have a great day. And thank you for allowing us to tell you and to share our faith with your listeners also.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, brother.
Have a great one. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye, guys.
All right, bye-bye. He's a joyful man right there.
Yes, he is. Yes. I really love Lynn.
Yeah.
He's a fine man. And that enthusiasm, that joy, that as far as I can tell, that's the real deal.
That's natural.
He is that way. He enjoys life.
Yeah.
He's loved what he's done all these years. He has the right attitude about work. In terms of, it's not just something that he gets to make money from. I'm sure he and Jim Duncan have done very well for themselves. And as you've pointed out, they could have just retired and gone to the beach. But they said, let's develop a product to bless AFA and get that message out. And he understands that work, you can view it as a calling from God to serve people and to be a representative of Christ in the workplace. So
next story, Fred.
You know, there must be, and we ask our people to do this, to pray for President Trump, because the Bible says we ought to pray for our leaders.
Right.
There've got to be a lot of people praying for President Trump. Whether you like his personality or not, he is facing, I believe, at least in my lifetime, unprecedented pressure every day from almost every source. Latest example, if it's not about the wall controversy, the New York Times on the weekend put out a report that the FBI initiated an investigation in May of 2017 into whether President Trump was serving as a covert Russian agent. All right?
That's LOL. You know what that means, Ed?
Yeah, it means laugh out loud.
Yeah,
laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Well, but of course, the New York Times was serious in trying to prove this. Greg Jarrett, who is a legal expert who works for Fox, wrote an editorial on this. So he says, the Bureau, with no probable cause, no evidence, and no reasonable suspicions, they launched this investigation in May of 2017. Now, that's an important date because it's also the month that President Trump fired James Comey, the former director of the FBI. Well, this morning on Fox and Friends, Kellyanne Conway, a spokesman for the president, had this to say about that New York Times article, Cut Six.
Well, the president said this weekend that it's the most insulting thing he's ever been asked, that's ever been said about him, which is saying a great deal, given everything that's been said and done about him. The other thing is, I have a slightly different view on it, which is it sort of confirms what the president has said all along about some of the rogue actors at the very tippy top of the FBI. Also, I think the headline could have said what so many of these stories could have said and never do, which is that investigation opened up, no fruits came of it.
Wait, so, now, let me get this straight just a minute, Fred. Mm-hmm. I said LOL, and Ed knows what that means.
I'm hip.
He's hip. Or woke.
Woke. Oh, man, definitely.
We're going to teach our listeners how to be hip. And so
and woke.
I think folks, you need to work the word woke into your
right.
Post 50, and you use woke with a 30-year-old, you watch their eyes pop.
Yep.
Anyway, and not I got woke this morning and
right.
Got breakfast. I'm not talking about that.
This woke means I've become aware of
yes.
A particular injustice.
Yes, yes.
And now I'm
doing something about it.
Yes.
But here's the thing on this. The reason I said LOL. This goes beyond collusion. By the way, is this true?
It's a New York Times story.
Okay, it's a New York Times story which says the FBI at its top levels thought President Trump was beyond colluding with the Russians, but he was basically an agent for them, right? That's what they were worried about? Is that true? Is that what I'm hearing?
But this was in the aftermath of President Trump firing Comey, mm-hmm. and clearly then in retaliation for that, and Greg Jarrett says the FBI had no probable cause, no evidence, and no reasonable suspicions. They investigated Trump because they could. They defied the law, ignored or perverted facts, and debased the integrity of a heretofore respected law enforcement agency. They weaponized the FBI, and they began this investigation.
After Comey was fired?
After Comey was fired. Mm-hmm. This is what Greg Jarrett is charging as a result of this New York Times article.
And the president reacted to this morning as he was heading out to the chopper. He's heading out of town, New Orleans, as we mentioned. But he said, you know, can we just go back and see what has been uncovered thus far? May 2017, McCabe becomes
Andrew McCabe.
Assistant
who's
FBI
no
director,
longer there.
Who's no longer there. He was fired. His wife ran as a Democrat in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that the FBI agents in charge of going after President Trump, Mr. Strzok, and Lisa and his girlfriend, Lisa Page, we have been made known the messages they were trading back and forth on FBI computers.
Now, by the way, they weren't just boyfriend and girlfriend.
No.
These are married people, right?
Having an affair.
Strzok, right.
Yes. How much they hated Donald Trump. And at one point, Strzok, even in those messages, this is during the election campaign, we got to do something about this, the fact that Donald Trump was going to win the election. So we know all of this. This was the chemistry. This was the environment amongst the top people of the FBI. And as President Trump reminded, as if the reporters needed reminding this morning, that this was also the same FBI that when they brought Hillary Clinton in July of 2016, didn't put her under oath.
Right.
Basically, it was a sit-down chat. Peter Strzok, a big fan of Hillary Clinton,
right,
was the lead FBI investigator and said there's nothing here.
And was also the one on behalf of Comey, if I'm not mistaken. Peter Strzok drafted mm-hmm. the statement exonerating Hillary Clinton of all suspicions or charges before he even interviewed her.
Yes. So is it
the fix was in.
A reasonable person would say the fix is in.
Right.
But we don't have a reasonable media anymore.
Right.
They don't care. They're out to get this guy. Which is, it's a little bit disturbing. The other news story I wanted to deal with this morning is that the president's nominee to be the new attorney general, William Barr, tomorrow the Senate Judiciary Committee begins its hearing to confirm him. And here's what he's quoted as saying. I believe it's in the best interest of everyone, President, Congress, most important, the American people, that the Mueller investigation be allowed to continue and to complete its work. Now, this is the same William Barr who back not too long ago was somewhat critical of the Mueller investigation. And now he's saying, before he heads into this hearing, that he thinks that Mueller should continue and complete its investigation. Well, the question is, and I wish somebody had asked him, and this is from a statement that's been released to the Associated Press. I assume it is the statement he will give at the opening of the hearing tomorrow in Washington. Well, how long? This has been going on for a couple of years now almost, the Mueller investigation. What, in your estimation, is complete? Where does this stop? And that's a big question a lot of people are asking right now. How much more? After 2 years, if you had something, you would probably come out and say, right now, they've indicted a bunch of Russians.
Right.
Who got into people's computers and were on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. But nothing connecting, as the president says, no collusion. Nothing connecting all of that to President Trump. And there's been indictments of a few people who work for President Trump, but those indictments and convictions now had to do with things that went on before they worked for President Trump.
And there were their own personal misdeeds.
Own personal misdeeds, yeah. Working with foreign agents or foreign governments without getting permission from the government, etc. So, is there any wonder why when the New York Times now comes out with this story alleging that the president was working as an agent for the Russians, he just shrugs his shoulders and, you know, Kellyanne Conway the same way. You know, what next?
That's, to me, that's the kind of thing, I mean, that's like Manchurian candidate kind of thing. That's the kind of statement that someone makes. I'm not trying to be funny here. But who say that the moon landing was faked.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're at a party or something like that, and someone says, I don't think we ever landed on the moon. I think that was all faked. Everyone kind of goes, I think I'm going to go over here and get a sandwich.
Yeah.
And but this kind of thing is like that.
Yeah.
That the president, that Trump was an agent for the Russian government?
Yeah.
This is what, again, this is being reported by Greg Jarrett, who's a respected legal analyst at Fox News, and he wrote a column on it.
Yes,
he wrote
did.
A column on the New York Times story.
Okay.
You can go right to Fox News.
And the New York Times is the one reporting that this happened. The New York Times is a liberal publication, so anyway, check that out. Is that all right, Brent, put that on our Facebook page. So if you go to Today's Issues Facebook page, you can link to the story we're talking about. With respect to the belief in the FBI that maybe President Trump was an agent for that'd make for a great movie, huh?
And hey, and his staff could be Boris and Natasha. Remember from the old Bullwinkle show?
Yes, yes.
Boris
yes.
and Natasha.
Yes, yes. I don't know who.
Hello, Donald.
all right.
Time for our meeting, sir.
Come on, people. Do you really believe President Trump could possibly be an agent for the Russians in any way? President Trump, one of the personality traits that he has, which for some people is very becoming and for others it's not, is that he wears everything on his sleeve. His feelings, his emotions, his thoughts. He doesn't. He called Jeff Bozo over the weekend.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's presidential, quite frankly. But this is who he is. This is how he rolls, so to speak. So you think a guy like that could cover up a grand conspiracy with the Kremlin?
No, he'd be saying
become president.
This
of America?
Is the greatest conspiracy ever.
Right. Right. He would.
Yes.
He would. He would say, yeah. I just
besides, he doesn't take orders.
No.
So he's going to, you know, Vladimir Putin's going to say, Trump, you're our agent. if you want a summer with me over here in my dacha, you're going to have to do this and that. Trump's going to go, okay.
Right, right. That's what this is like. Yes. This is what this is suggesting. So anyway, I guess the Mueller thing can go on forever. You know, we are in a, and this is no secret to anybody who has mentioned this before, we are in a, you call it an irretractable political dilemma in this country. I don't know if that's the way you phrase it. In other words, there's no compromising. There's no meeting in the middle. There's no goodwill, good faith. There's no Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan, have a beer at the White House and get
iron, thing, out, our
iron out our differences between Irishmen. There's these people, the Democrats represent a whole new vision, if you want to, or political way of life that President Obama started. He didn't complete it, but he said, remember when President Obama said, I want to fundamentally change America?
Yes.
He said it out in the open.
Right.
In a speech. Mm-hmm. That's what the progressives, that's what they call themselves, Abe calls them regressives, Abraham Hamilton III does, but they want to fundamentally change our country to have a universal health care or government socialist health care.
Single payer.
Take a single payer. That's where they. That's what,
that's
they,
what
want.
They want.
They want massive taxes and regulations
right.
On our businesses and on people. They want there's they and on the social issues front, they want to persecute Christians.
Right.
And they'll come up with their ways to do that.
Right.
People may say, "Oh, you're exaggerating now." No, I'm not. I'm saying they want to punish people for having certain beliefs. They want
right.
to be the thought police and the religious police, right?
Which you see on colleges
sure.
and university campuses.
Well, that's why Dianne Feinstein and Elizabeth Warren and others, when you have Christians come up to, they don't hide this. When they come up for before their committees, they say, "Hey, do you believe this?"
Right.
You remember the other day they were going after this guy for being a member of the Knights of Columbus. I forgot which one. Do y'all remember reading about this at all?
I do remember. And then was it Amy
Todd Starnes commented on this.
Barrett said, which one was said?
Dianne Feinstein.
The dogma.
Yeah.
It goes deep within you or something.
Yeah. So that's where they ultimately want to go, is to punish people for having Christian beliefs.
That's right.
And even if it means shutting down churches. That's their ultimate objective, in the name of their righteous cause, to promote social justice and progressivism. So we'll see what happens. Yes, Fred.
We only got a few minutes left before we have to break for news. But, you know, as the disdain for Donald Trump mounts, the love affair with Barack Obama continues, even though he's been out of office now a couple of years. The headline here, this is a USA Today story, I believe. More cities add Barack Obama's name to landmarks and highways. For instance, there's now a Barack Obama Way in New Albany Township, Indiana, and a Barack Obama Boulevard in Paoke, Florida. And there is a Barack Obama Elementary School in Richmond, Virginia, and a Barack Obama Academy for Academic and Civil Development in Plainfield, New Jersey. Now, the big one that they're considering apparently out there in California, they want to change the name of LAX to Obama Airport.
They probably will.
So there you have it. Can't imagine that happening when President Trump leaves the scene.
No.
No, although I will say this, that's just American tradition to honor former presidents. I mean,
of Reagan International Airport.
Yeah. John F. Kennedy Airport.
Right.
It's not unusual to do that.
But maybe not 2 years quick. After you leave office.
Well, my goodness, you're talking about a guy, you're talking about accomplishments. President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize.
His first week in office.
Before he even learned how to get back in the White House, you know, after he went outside to get the paper.
So they hadn't moved the sofa in yet.
No, and he already won the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right. I forgot about that accomplishment.
What an accomplishment, I'd
say. All right, Fred, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, we shall return. There's more. There's another half an hour. We've got all the answers coming up after the news. So Ed and I will be back, and Steve Jordahl will join us. We'll see you in a few minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.